Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Regan. I am a licensed addiction counselor and certified grief counselor. I work for Heartview Foundation in the Bismarck-Mandan area here. And welcome to a program that we call Recovery Chronicles. Usually we interview a person in long-term recovery, but at other times we talk to other individuals involved in recovery and in helping other people, and that is the case today. We have a couple of guests here to talk about the North Dakota Professional Health Program. And the slogan, by the way, is healing others takes its toll. We are here to help you. And so that kind of gives you the idea. It's an organization that assists or helps take care of healthcare professionals. And I would be included in that. But our guests are Ann Lyseth. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did.
And Ann is the executive director of, I can use the initials, NDPHP. And then we have Missy Hanke with us, Dr. Hanke.
Sure.
And she's a familiar voice. I think you were one of our last guests.
Yeah.
Talking about
making this a regular thing.
Well, I guess what? Maybe you, I'd like you to be a guest host someday. But
yes.
Missy is not only the medical director of Heartview, but also the medical director for this NDPHP. Right? Did I cover a lot of ground there?
Perfect.
So, okay. And tell us about yourself. We have not met you yet. So where are you from, and how did you get involved with this?
I am from Minnesota. I've been in North Dakota for the last 16 years. I came from a facility here in Bismarck, one of the larger hospital organizations. Mm-hmm. And that's how I came to NDPHP. During that process, one of the gentlemen that I supported was also on the board of NDPHP.
Okay. How large is your board, by the way?
We have a 9-member board.
Okay. And this is a statewide organization, isn't it? I mean, you serve the entire state. How do you do that? You have an office in Bismarck.
We have an office in Bismarck, 919 South 7th Street. It's the round building across from JCPenney's and Target. Our program, we're a nonprofit that covers the whole state of North Dakota, or any licensee, medical licensee, physician assistant, or medical student that is licensed by our state board.
Okay. So we're talking about physicians, and I suppose most people assume that's probably the majority of your clientele, but let's find out. I mean, we're talking about physicians, nurses.
We work with physicians and physician assistants and medical students, medical residents.
Okay, so this is more focused.
It is more focused, though we are trying to expand. We would like to work with more of the advanced practice providers, including CRNAs and nurse practitioners. So we're trying to expand just so that there's some equality as far as PAs and NPs, that they have equal access to our program, because our program is an alternative to discipline. So what that means is that if you are a medical provider and you're struggling with a mental health issue or a substance use disorder, that you can reach out to our program and we can help you get the help that you need and the support that you need without having to come before your licensing board. And currently in the state of North Dakota, the Board of Nursing does not offer such a program. So we would like to expand and be able to work with the advanced practice providers on that side of things.
Good. I hope you can do that someday.
The benefits of alternative to discipline programs are incredible. And PHPs are in most states, and the benefits are incredible. The success rates are upwards of 90% of providers who enroll in a PHP are able to practice without any restrictions after they complete the program. And you and I work at Heartview, and our success rates are nowhere near 90%.
Right.
It'd be fantastic if they were, but they're not. So.
Yeah, wouldn't it? So how do most clients find you? Are they referred in some way? Or?
So they can find us a variety of ways. They we have been doing a lot of outreach and advertising and just some PR kind of things at various conferences. We've only been in existence, and Ann knows the dates better than I do.
We took our first participants March 16th, 2015.
Okay.
So just going into 5 years.
Right. So those participants all came to us from the Board of Medicine.
Okay.
And now we're very proud of the fact that 2/3 of our participants are voluntary. So they came to us by way of, you know, a self-referral or a referral from their employer or something along those lines. And then 1/3 of our participants are mandated to participate in our program through the Board of Medicine.
Okay. How about the North Dakota Medical Association? Do you get referrals from them?
I don't think
that we... Just curious.
Yeah. No, I don't think that we have at this point, but we certainly have a good working relationship with them. And I have no doubt that if they had someone they were concerned about, or if anyone reached out to them, that they would be quick to send them our way.
Do you go to conferences and, you know, and have exhibits or tables or that kind of thing?
We will start our exhibit, I call it a tour. Yeah. We'll start about February, and we go through usually the end of October. We'll do the PA conference, the trauma conference. If there's a conference that fits our program, we go.
Nice. Now, and you said you were a healthcare professional yourself, correct? Or
no, I worked at one of the
one of our hospitals.
One of our hospitals. Yeah, okay. I supported the legal team.
Okay. All right. Understood. So, and we can all guess, but what are some of the tensions and hardships of being a healthcare professional, a provider that which might cause them to turn to a substance or have you know some mental health anxieties or other problems?
So healthcare providers are affected with mental illness and substance use disorders at the same rate as the general population. Just because we have all this great education doesn't mean that we're immune to the disease of addiction or mental health. So unfortunately, though, we often are very high functioning and we can cover it up.
Type A, maybe.
Yeah. And we also, I mean, I know that we make a lot of excuses. I work really hard. I should get to play really hard. And I, you know, as long as it doesn't affect patient care, people should stay out of my business. And so there is a lot of that. We are generally type A people. And so, but again, unfortunately, the last part of our life that's affected is our professional life. So usually our marriages have fallen apart and our kids aren't speaking to us, and financially we are struggling, but we still show up to work every day, and we're still doing everything we need to do, which then in our minds means we don't have a problem.
Right. Sure.
But then unfortunately when those wheels fall off, now we're a danger.
Right.
So we would like to get to people before they become a danger. So as the wheels in private life are starting to get loose, we would like to be able to intervene at that time.
Well, you know, one of the things that healthcare providers experience is a loss of life. I mean, it even at my level as an addiction counselor, we lose patients, and that can be hard on a provider, and you might even take something like that home with you, you know, and it's something that can affect you for days.
Absolutely, and in this country, we lose between 300 and 400. Physicians a year to suicide. So almost one a day in this country, and we're not educating enough to fill that void. So it is really something that we need to take a step back and look at. How do we take better care of our providers?
And you know, our providers are kind of expected to be gods at times, right? I mean, the all-knowing, all-powerful God, with all the answers, and when we don't have all the answers, you know, that's going to, or, you know, you lose someone and the spouse or the children come to you and say, it's all your fault. How could you let that happen to Dad or to my mom? And that there's a lot of tension, guilt, maybe even a feeling of powerlessness at times.
And we're not perfect. I make mistakes every single day, just like every provider makes mistakes every single day. But people expect perfection. Mm-hmm. They expect that you're always going to have the answer and you're always going to do the right thing. And for most of us, we can accept the fact that that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But for some people, they go into it thinking they're never going to make a mistake and they're never going to hurt anyone. And the reality of it is none of us get out of this profession without ever harming someone, unfortunately.
Right. You know, and hopefully we in healthcare are learning every day. And in order to learn something, you have to be humble, right? You have to be willing to learn.
Right. And the face of medicine is really changing. I couldn't tell you the last time I attended a conference where they weren't talking about wellness and burnout and balance and all of those things that we talk to our clients about every day.
Yeah.
But sometimes as providers, we don't do a very good job of that. And so I know Anne and I have attended a couple of conferences that were strictly focused on physician wellness and combating burnout and how do you relay those messages to providers that it's okay to take a vacation and it's okay to, you know, take care of yourself and to leave early and those kinds of things.
Just curious, do you talk about mindfulness? That's kind of one of the hot topics.
Mindfulness is a hot topic.
And meditation, you know.
And there's a lot. And actually the North Dakota Medical Association at their annual meeting had Melanie Carvel come in and she talked about mindfulness.
Right.
And she talked about different apps that she uses. And so the push is definitely in that direction. And that's, you know, where Ann and I come in when people haven't been doing those things, and then we can kind of get them on track and connect them with the right people.
Yeah. So to remind our audience, we're talking with Ann Lyseth and Missy Henke about the North Dakota Professional Health Program. In other words, taking care of especially physicians when they have problems, especially mental health and substance abuse. You know, I remember reading articles over the years when they talk about which professions experience, you talked about suicide, which professions in the country experience become addicts, and doctors are away at the time. I remember police officers too. Mm-hmm. It's one of those high stress, and you know there's a handful that seem to always show up at the time.
And all specialties aren't created equal either. Anesthesia and ER have higher rates of substance use disorder. And psychiatry has higher rates of mental illness, which is a little counterintuitive.
I also think that
you know people migrate towards psychiatry, maybe if they've had struggles or they have struggles in their family, it's what makes sense to them. But that doesn't always mean that they get the answers that they wanted.
Sure. Well, as you know, one of the reasons I became an addiction counselor is I'm in recovery, but also a loss, the loss of a daughter. And I needed to, it just kind of turned my life upside down. And so I needed to be able to help people more and more, and as I was helped, you might say. So I did write down. I studied your website. Some of the ways in which you help these professionals, and I'll go down the list, and then we can talk about each one a little bit. But screenings and referrals, consultation and guidance, support, accountability, and then advocacy. So let's start with screenings and referrals. So someone thinks they have a problem and they come to you. What do you do?
Well, the first thing that we do is we gather information on the situation or the problems that they're experiencing and how it's affecting their position. What we will start with is we start with an assessment. Mm-hmm. And we usually send our professionals to a facility that has a program strictly for professionals. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a three-day assessment.
Okay. And this is in the state, or this is in another
state? This is in another state. Okay. Unfortunately, North Dakota does not have a facility with a professionals program.
Mm-hmm. Well, good thing there is one.
There's many, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, we utilize a lot of different ones.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And based on the recommendations from the assessment, they may just need, you know, some mental health care that we can set up within the state, or they may need treatment.
Yes.
And that could be 2 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, 11 or 12.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And based on that recommendation is then how we create a monitoring agreement when they're discharged. They come back into our program, and that's how we help them get reestablished back to work. Mm-hmm. North Dakota is such a rural state, and it's hard to get providers in to begin with. Mm-hmm. And when you lose a provider, it's roughly $1 million to replace a physician by the time you lose the revenue from their practice.
Yes.
By the time you do the recruiting. Yeah. So let's get our professionals healthy and keep them in our state.
Right, we need them.
Yes, we do.
Especially in North Dakota. So one of the things I found is that you use a screening tool called CAGE, which I know is an acronym, but C-A-G-E.
Correct.
Who wants to explain that?
Well, and that's... It's an old tool, and it's pretty simple, but the C stands for cut back. So does anyone ever ask you to cut back on your use of drugs or alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
A is annoyed. Do you get annoyed when people talk to you about your use of drugs or alcohol?
Right.
G is guilt. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do anything you feel guilty for when you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol? And then E is eye opener. Do you ever have the need for an eye opener in order to function the next day? And it's a very simple but well-validated tool. And we know that if you have two or more, the likelihood that you have a substance use disorder is quite high.
Okay. Yeah. And that eye-opener may be in the form of a drink or a pill. Or
absolutely. It might be that you're taking your kids Adderall so you can get out the door. So it's just a very simple, well-validated tool. And I think it's easy to remember and...
Sure.
It works.
Yeah, I like that. And then consultation and guidance. And I wrote down next to that that you assist friends, families, and colleagues in caring for their healthcare professional. How do you do that?
Well, we are here to help the professional, but we're not just here for them. They have families, they have coworkers, they have children. And if there's any type of concern with the family members, we want them to be able to reach out to us as well so that we can help guide them with the situation that they're experiencing with their loved one while they work through recovery.
Yeah. Well, we say every single day, don't we, that addiction is a family disease. So it only makes sense.
Yeah. Well, something that I think that we're really proud of is within the last about a year ago, we were able to gain a contract with UND School of Medicine. So we're now able to be proactive and start with medical students at the beginning instead of getting a professional 30 years later into their career. Mm-hmm. And the School of Medicine, they have utilized our program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how does that work? So you said you get them young, you get them early. What kind of needs do they have?
Very, very similar. The only thing is they don't answer to the Board of Medicine yet. They're still under UND's umbrella. So Dr. Joy Dorsher is the dean up there, and she's been absolutely fantastic to work with. So she really advocates for them. And so ideally we start with that same assessment to see if they need treatment or if they have mental health needs, and then get them on the right path early before they end up answering to the Board of Medicine, because that's a much different entity to them versus answering to Dr. Dorsher.
Okay, so it's really primarily a screening program in the med school.
So they have And I don't know what Michelle Montgomery's title actually
is. She's the wellness coordinator.
She's a wellness coordinator up there. She's just a fabulous resource for the students. And so she is oftentimes able to identify a med student who has a problem, is on their way to having a problem, so we can do early intervention before we're a threat to society. So she's been really instrumental in getting some med students into our program as well. And again, we want them to be healthy and on the right track before they enter residency, because then the level of stress and anxiety goes up exponentially, as any provider will tell you. So we want them to be well and making good choices and having good coping skills and mindfulness before they go down that road.
Sure. You know, you see on television and you read about the life of a med student, and especially being a resident, you know, at a hospital, or especially a big city. And it's almost like a boot camp. I mean, getting no long hours, getting no sleep, you know, getting yelled at. I mean, this is the way the media depicts a medical residency.
It isn't actually like the shows on TV.
Well, good, but, you know.
No, but it is very, I mean, when I started my residency, there were not limitations on work hours. So my first year, I worked between 100 and 120 hours a week.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And then they implemented work limits so that we could only work 80 hours a week. That was your max.
And you couldn't
work more than, I think, 30 hours in a row with direct patient care. And there was just all this. But they have since eliminated those work hours because they were put into place thinking that, okay, this will make it safer for patients, but it didn't actually affect safety outcomes. So they've since eliminated it. But it is it is a brutal, anxiety-provoking, stressful time.
I hope that's getting better. Do you think that's getting at me?
I mean,
it sounds like it is. But
I think it is getting much better, actually. I think that, especially here in North Dakota, our residency programs have really, they're devoted to their residents. They don't want their residents to fail. They don't want their residents to drop out. It's expensive to have a resident. And so they want them to get through and be healthy, because a lot of our providers and practitioners in North Dakota trained here. So if you're gonna finish residency here and stay here, we want to make sure that you are healthy and happy and stable. So I think the residency programs here do a phenomenal job of really taking care of their residents.
Well, good. And did you want to say something about accountability? Then I wrote down monitored. You're monitoring the compliance, the client's compliance with treatment and their behavioral health plan.
You know, once they enter into a monitoring agreement, if it's for substance use, it's usually 5 years that they are monitored by our program.
Yes. Well,
we have some that DUI with no diagnosis, they will be in our program for a minimum of 1 year. You know, just to make sure that there's no issues, and if they complete that 1 year, then we will let them go from our program. So all of our providers in our program have to have a monitoring physician, a treating physician. It may be psychotherapy, maybe individual therapy, could be family therapy, it could be self-help attendance at AANA, Caduceus. There's a Caduceus group for professionals in Bismarck and Grand Forks and Fargo and Minot, all started by professionals, medical professionals. So we monitor that process through 5 years.
So they call, explain the term, I think I know it, I think I've heard the term Caduceus. You know
it's
the origin?
Well, it's that rod with the snake is the caduceus. And so
going back to Greek times.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the meetings that are for medical professionals nationwide and probably worldwide are called caduceus meetings. So and it's not that as a physician with a substance use disorder that your disease is any different. It isn't. It's the same disease. But a lot of the stresses that you deal with are very different. You know, you're worried about losing your license, and someone, you know, who doesn't have that hanging over their head probably doesn't understand that level of stress. And so
that's a lot of stress. Yeah.
It's not a different illness, but there are different realities. And again, if you're an anesthesiologist and you have a history of abusing opiates, you still have to work with those. So it's sort of like being an alcoholic who's a bartender. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. So yeah. it's a different kind of a stress. And so, as we know from 12 step meetings, the best people to support us are people that deal with the same things we deal with.
Right. So. Right. And then if you wanted to touch on advocacy, and I think that involves, educating employers and regulators. And so that's part of of what you do also.
That is part of what we do, advocacy for our participants with their employers, being able to provide them with a compliance status report. Mm-hmm. Some of our providers have other licenses in other states that we're able to provide them with a compliance status report.
And with the Board of Medicine, we advocate. We have some participants in our program who have done some egregious things and have worked very hard to get their license back. And so we will run interference with the Board of Medicine and help them maybe modify their license so they don't have an unrestricted license, but they have restrictions in place so that they're safe to practice medicine.
Yeah. What might be an example of a restriction?
Well, we have some participants who are limited as to the number of hours that they can work in a week and the number of days that they can work in a week, the number of patients that they can safely see in a day, that they take monitored antabuse, that they have breathalyzers 4 times a day. So we can build all of those things in with the Board of Medicine. We can build it into their restricted license so that as long as they're meeting those criteria, they're safe to practice medicine, because without that, they would not be safe.
Sure. Okay. And again, we're almost out of time. I mean, I knew it was going to go fast.
That was fast.
Well, we got a couple of minutes, but we're talking with Ann Lyseth and with Missy Henke, and respectively, the executive director and medical director of North Dakota Health Professionals. Did I say that right?
It's the professional health program.
Helping, especially physicians and who else? Remind me, physicians and
physician assistants.
Okay, which we call PAs.
PAs and medical residents and medical students.
That once upon a time, you probably know this. I helped to recruit physicians to the Bismarck Mandan area when I worked for one of the hospitals and. Working with physicians, I gained a whole lot more respect for physicians than I ever had. For one thing, the long hours. I mean, they would arrive. Most of them would arrive early in the morning, do their hospital rounds, and then see patients all day, and then go back to try to squeeze in a quick lunch. Luckily, there was a cafeteria. Do hospital rounds in the evening.
Right.
I think most of them were lucky to get back home by 7 p.m.
Right.
usually.
It has gotten a lot more humane with the advent of hospitalists. So now if you're a clinic provider, you don't necessarily round before clinic and after clinic because there's a hospitalist. So what that is it's someone who just works in the hospital. They do all the admissions. Yeah. They're in-house the whole time. So if someone's not doing well, they can go take care of them. If a family shows up, they can work with them. So that has really changed the look of medicine and the work-life balance.
Good.
Because it used to, you're right, it used to be 15, 16 hours a day, and you never made it to your kids' basketball games, and you never made it to the Christmas concerts. There's still a lot of responsibility and expectations, but it has gotten much, much better.
Good. Well, and another factor that I wrote down, the amount of debt you come out of medical school and additional training with. I mean, that there's a lot of stress to that when your loan payments are so high
it's only going up. When my husband and I graduated from medical school, we had $250,000 in student loans between the two of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And now most of my medical students carry that much on their own. So as a couple, you would be looking at $500,000 in student loans. And again, we're lucky to live in a state where employers offer loan repayment and different things like that. But you're absolutely right. It's more than a mortgage. And all you get is this really nice piece of paper to hang on your wall.
So, and we are out of time. So how do we contact you? How does a healthcare professional with that thinks she or he might have a problem, how do they get a hold of you?
They can contact us at 701-751-5090, or they can look through our website, and we actually have web mail. They can send us an email through that as well. Our web address is ndphp.org.
Okay. So, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you for having us.
And I think I'll close with the program out with the traditional serenity prayer. So, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.
I sing the song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the need.